It may well be that our means are fairly limited and our possibilities restricted when it comes to applying pressure on our government. But is this a reason to do nothing? Despair is not an answer. Neither is resignation. Resignation only leads to indifference, which is not merely a sin, but a punishment. And that quote comes from Eli Wiesel. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Despair and indifference are two emotions that are running rife in the world today, but neither of them really are an option when we look at the world that is unfolding before us as we move into 2014. The danger of indifference, the danger of apathy, and the danger of despair are very real dangers, and we don't want to let these things affect us, folks. We don't want to let these things seep into our everyday lives, because these three emotions are crippling, and none of them can provide an answer for us or a solution for us. And yet it is very easy for many people to slip into these emotions simply by looking at the world around them. Although I don't really know that apathy is an emotion in itself, really, is it? It's more of a state of mind, and it is certainly something that we see all around us everywhere we look in the world today, especially here in Australia. And I'm only singling out Australia, folks, because that's where I live, because truth be told, I'm seeing a lot of apathy in a lot of countries. Though it does please me to say that I am also seeing large numbers of people waking up to the fact that things are topsy-turvy and everything is upside down and that we need to pay attention, and I see a lot of people doing so. Indeed, the more negative the powers that be make the world, the more people wake up simply due to their actions. And so it's an interesting thing to notice that by bringing in the control grid as quickly as they are attempting to do so, they are in fact bringing about their own demise. But the truth is, for their demise to occur, it requires the participation of those people who are awake. And that's why it's very important for people not to fall into despair or fall into indifference. And it's certainly important for people to attempt to alleviate the apathetic state that they see in those around them.
And really, folks, it's becoming easier and easier to awaken people from their apathetic state because we are being given so much fuel by the powers that be with which to do so. I mean, really, all you've got to do is look at the actions of modern politicians and, well, the facts just speak for themselves. I mean, look at Obama recently. He's just taken out a wedding party in Pakistan, killed 11 people who were on their way to a wedding. Obama, of course, considers this to be collateral damage because he is a psychopath and mass murderer who has utter disdain for human life. But we can see simply by this attitude and his daring to call these 11 people he killed with one of his illegal drone strikes collateral damage, it just shows the disregard he has for human life. Of course, Obama will say that his drone strikes are not illegal because he wrote down on a piece of paper that he's allowed to do so, but that's only by US law. The United States seems to think that US law is global law, but really it's just the United States administration getting away with what it does by justifying its actions by considering itself to be the top of the universal food chain. But of course, such is not the case, and the truth of the matter is that Barack Obama is little different than any other common murderer, although he is a little different in as much as he murders people en masse, whereas most people simply murder them one at a time. Of course, recently, Barack Obama's administration has been talking about incursions into South Sudan in order to protect the United States citizens at the embassy, of course. Of course, it has nothing to do with the fact that the rebels that are now orchestrating the conflict in South Sudan have recently taken over control of the main oil-producing area. And it's just a stroke of coincidence that it happens to be when this oil-producing area was overtaken by the rebels that Barack Obama decided it was time to go in and protect the US citizens. One might suggest that the only reason the US citizens were put there to begin with was so that when a conflict erupted in the area, the United States could go in and take control of the oil-producing region under the guise of protecting its citizens. The United States simply thrives on war, ladies and gentlemen. It can't function if it doesn't have its finger in as many wars as possible. And we've seen this throughout all modern history. Ever since the banking cartels that control the United States got America to start dabbling in wars, they have made sure that America has been involved in wars ever since, because war is an enormously profitable business for international banksters. And this is why we see America constantly involving itself in wars. And in this regard, Barack Obama's administration is simply no different to all of the previous administrations, all of which have indulged in constant warmongering under the guise of bringing peace to the world, and they've done so at the whim of the international banksters which actually control the country. And it's a constant thing, folks. America is always looking for some war with which to involve itself in. I mean, recently they were going to go into Syria, and I clearly remember Barack Obama saying that what the action that he was planning against Syria was would not be classed as an act of war. It would simply be a limited strike with no boots on the ground, kind of similar to what the Japanese did in Pearl Harbor. The Japanese, of course, attacked Pearl Harbor after being provoked by the United States to do so back in 1941, and what the Japanese carried out in Pearl Harbor was, of course, a limited strike with no boots on the ground. This, of course, was the event that the United States used to enter into World War II and kill millions upon millions of people from that point forward. So, of course, by Obama's standards, one might wonder why America considered the attack on Pearl Harbor to be an act of war, considering this is what the United States has been doing to other countries virtually ever since, and not only the United States, but also its terrorist allies, namely England, Australia, and the other countries that side with the coalition of the criminally insane as it carries out its warmongering around the planet. So yes, folks, we do have plenty of fuel with which to awaken people from their apathy. Even here in Australia, with the new bikie laws that have just come in, not to mention the dredging of the Great Barrier Reef that the current sociopathic Prime Minister of this country, Tony Abbott, is allowing to happen. They're literally cutting a hole through the Great Barrier Reef in order to create a shipping lane to ship coal seam gas out of the country in order to sell it to China. And this, of course, is resulting in the destruction of the Australian water table, water being the most valuable resource in this country. So as I said, folks, there is no shortage of fuel with which to wake people up from their apathy, and the list just goes on and on. When I was in Peru recently, folks, the amount of destruction and illegal forest clearing that is happening in the Amazon in order to grow crops such as palm oil and papaya and cacao and other superfoods also is some extremely powerful fuel that can be used to awaken people to the disgraceful state that our planet is in, and the disgraceful state that we are allowing our planet to remain in by our continued inaction against those criminals and psychopaths who currently hold the reins of power in our countries and who are allowing this global destruction to be carried out and perpetuated. And it's also very important to clearly understand, and it's also very sobering to realize the fact that all of this wanton destruction and warmongering is being carried out by our governments in our names. So if you are a taxpayer, this is what you are funding by paying your taxes. And I would suggest that everybody withhold their taxes if your government is engaging in illegal wars. I know this is very difficult for a lot of people to do because your taxes are garnished from your wages before you get them. But still, it is important for people to at least make a noise about this situation and to do what they are able in order to alleviate this situation. That's really the only place remedy will be found, folks. Remedy must come from the actions of the people. There is strength in numbers, and the people of our various countries are truly the ones who hold the real power in our countries. We've just been taught to believe that the opposite is true. But ultimately, folks, government only have the power that we grant them. And it's very, very important for us to rein these governments in and to lead the world in a better direction than the one it's currently going. We simply can't allow these psychopaths to continue doing what they are doing, my friends, and backing down from them and standing in fear of them and allowing the world to be destroyed around us simply because these people write rules on pieces of paper is simply not an option. Well, it's not an option for me anyway, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure there are many, many people out there who feel very much the same way. And folks, really, it is time for people to do something. It's time to take the matter in hand. I mean, I've been coming on to the air here and speaking to you calmly, politely, and hopefully eloquently for the last 5 or 6 years in an attempt to calmly point out to people the need for them to pay attention and the need for them to motivate themselves into some kind of action against the criminal cabal that is currently running this planet into the ground. And it becomes a little frustrating when I see the amount of inaction that is still so prevalent in the world today. And it's really gotten beyond a joke, folks, and there's no point sitting around and pretending that things are not going down the tube anymore, because they are. And there's no good attempting to wait for other people to save the day as well. There's no point joining some organization and thinking because you've joined the organization that the organization is going to save the world. You have to participate yourself in changing things in your own community. You have to create ripples in your community. You have to start influencing the people around you through your actions. Leading by example is the greatest thing you can do, ladies and gentlemen. It is truly the best form of awakening that you can bring to the world. And there's a real need for us to do so. This is why I intend to launch the Full Circle Project, because there is a need for people to get involved. And I've actually created the foundation now, which is going to be used for the Full Circle Project as well. And people are able to make contributions now if they would like to be involved. I've had many people contact me about making contributions to the Full Circle Project, and I haven't been able to accept them because I did not have a foundation for the donations and contributions to go into. But that foundation has now been created. It's called the In La Keshe Foundation. And you'll find a link to contribute to that foundation on my website, thecrowhouse.com. If you are able to do so, it would be very much appreciated, my friends. This is a fund that's going to be used to buy back vast sections of Amazon if we can raise the capital to do so. And it's also going to be used to fund community projects in those communities around the world who would like to get involved in this project. We need to find a mechanism by which each individual community can regain its power and put the government in its country back in its correct position as public trustees and not as rulers, and help change the world and take things in a different direction. I think it's very, very important that we do this, and it's very important that people get involved. I've seen so many organizations and so many movements started, and none of them ever seem to really go anywhere. And I do not want this to be the case with the Full Circle Project. I really want to create something that people can use to empower themselves in their own individual communities, and also to save the Amazon, or at least make a very, very good start in that direction. And the intent is to get as many people involved as possible. And I think once we start making a difference and people start seeing real action being taken on the ground, then people will want to be involved. So please, if you have ever thought of making a contribution to the Crow House in the past, now is very much the time for you to do so. This is a huge project that I wish to launch, folks, and I simply cannot do it without the support of the people. And I truly hope that a lot of people dig deep and seek to be involved. Because if we do, we can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. I really believe that the worst thing we can do is nothing. And as I said, doing nothing for me is simply not an option. I've actually had a lot of people contact me about the Full Circle Project and want more information about it. A lot of people have heard me mention that I'd like to create a template, something that can be applied to each individual community. And this is something that it's very difficult for me to actually explain to people, because it's something that I'm still working out on my own. Plus, I'm getting input from other people around the planet, and I very much need input from as many people as possible regarding this, because I don't know particularly what works in your own community. We each have different things that we can do in our individual communities. And there are so many things that we could do. I mean, we need to take action on a global level, but we also need to take action, as I said, at a grassroots level. We need to take action within our individual communities and start creating ripples that then ripple out to the rest of our communities. And this grassroots action could be conducted in various ways. But whatever form this action takes, it must, I believe, center around some type of co-op that can be created in each community, whether it's a gardening co-op, whether it's dried foods, or whether it's whatever. There'd be some sort of cooperative that you can form in your community, and the money in that cooperative could be used for various projects. One of them could even be by starting your own bank, whereby all the people within the cooperative and all the people who buy from the cooperative are able to obtain loans at a very, very low interest rate, like about 1%, from the cooperative bank. So it frees you from the central banking system. Even if you're using their paper, you're still free from their banking system. And of course, this is just a small step on the way to freedom. I mean, we don't really want to have any type of banking system at all, I don't believe, but that would be a long way down the track. But for now, I think it's important for people to free themselves from the central banking system, even if we are still forced to use their paper. It's very important that we get out of the clutches of the debt-based culture that is attached to their banking system. And as I said, folks, this is simply a stepping stone, but it seems to be a very logical stepping stone to begin with. And this is just one idea and one option, and I'm sure there are a great many other options. Another idea is for places such as tribal centres in Peru, for example, where these villagers are cutting down their trees and selling them at very, very low prices in order to put food on their table. Or each one of them could perhaps start some sort of a cooperative whereby they could put large dehydrators in their village that they could use by the sun. All you'd really need would be a shipping container that you can put stacks of fruit in there, and you could sell dried fruits in order to fund the village rather than chopping down the trees. And not just dried fruits, but you could sell dried vegetables as well, kale chips and banana chips and other things that people may wish to consume. And we need re-education programs and workshops and all sorts of things that are designed to involve and inspire these people into sovereignty and inspire people into cooperation with each other. Tree planting initiatives, recycling of rubbish into earth ships, these types of initiatives, adobe housing. There's all sorts of things that we can use to empower these tribal communities. And there are also things that we can use to empower Western communities as well. And these initiatives that are started in Western communities must always be designed in order to push the envelope with your local council and your local government, and to demonstrate to them that the community is taking charge of the situation again, because we can't simply allow the world to be destroyed, folks. That's the problem, you see. We are always forced to operate within parameters that are handed to us by council, and we do so because we believe these rules are real. We'll allow companies to come in and conduct coal seam gas in our area and destroy our water table because we are told that what they are doing is within the parameters of the law. And what we don't understand is that the law that they're referring to is simply legislation that's been written on pieces of paper by sociopaths, which has been designed to remove your power from you and to remove actual law from the planet and replace it with the will of politicians. And this is something that's been enormously frustrating for me over the years, folks, is to see our willingness to allow the world to be destroyed around us simply because some sociopath, who is simply a public trustee who only has the power that we give them, wrote some rules down on a piece of paper. They write words down on a piece of paper and they believe that it gives them the power to trash the planet, and we allow them to do so because we believe that the legal fiction they make up is real and is actual law. And as I said, folks, this is something that's been a huge source of frustration for me over the years. And it just defies analysis. It defies all logic as to why the human race would simply allow this to happen. Why we've been so conditioned to believe the written word to be law, when really there is only one law, and that law is do no harm. And it's got to stop, folks. It's got to stop. We can't simply allow our planet to be destroyed because these people wrote rules down on pieces of paper. It doesn't work that way. We have to wake up from our slumber and start taking this matter in hand. And it's got to be done at a grassroots level, because change will only come from empowered communities. And that's what I wish to do with the Full Circle Project. So again, folks, if you would like to be involved, please do make a contribution to the In La Cache Foundation. You'll find a link on my website, thecrowhouse.com, and let's get this show on the road. And this project will be launched early this year, folks. This is why I've just been in Peru filming the new documentary that I hope to have completed and be able to give you sometime early this year. In fact, I was only able to go to Peru and to complete the making of the film due to the generosity of one very kind lady in Spain. And so she is the one that we all really need to thank for making the upcoming documentary a possibility. And that is another reason why, if anybody can make a contribution to thecrowhouse.com, it would be greatly appreciated at this time, simply in order to allow me to continue to do what I do and to be able to complete this film and launch the new project. Because I simply can't do it on my own, folks. I have virtually depleted everything that I've got. I do this in order to be able to bring you information for free, the way I have been for so many years. And now it's really gotten to the point where if the people out there who do listen to the show regularly wish me to be able to continue to bring the shows to you, well, it really is up to you. But enough of that. I really do hate asking for donations, folks, but sometimes, well, I guess I just have to, because things get a little tight. But moving on, yes, folks, though we do face incredible obstacles to human freedom at this point in time, we do in turn have an enormous amount of fuel with which to awaken people. And the powers that believe they be are providing us with more fuel on a daily basis. And we need to use this fuel to our advantage, and we need to help put the power back into the hands of the people. And as I've so often said, one of the best ways to put empowerment back into the hands of the people is to break down the barriers that you have in your respective communities. The social and racial and economic and religious barriers that we perceive to be there, but which really only serve to keep our communities divided. We need to change our perspective and create a new reality, folks, and it has to be created from the ground up by grassroots movements right across the planet. Personally, I think one of the most important steps we can take towards achieving this goal is to remove commerce from our lives, folks. Don't profit from people. Don't sell things to people. Give things to people. I mean, sure, I can understand that we have to make a living. We all have to make a living because we're forced to pay to be alive. But don't put exorbitant prices on things when you do services for people. Give all you can, because if we can get back to our natural state of giving, then we will change the world. The commercial system and the economic model that's been superimposed over our reality is truly the biggest problem that we face. Money is very, very evil stuff. People will say, well, money isn't evil, it's just ink spots on a piece of paper. How can it have any inherent intent? And it isn't that the money itself, the paper, is evil. It's the concept. It's the psychic pathogen that infects your mind and causes you to believe that this stuff has actual value, because it doesn't. It's only ink spots on pieces of paper. What has value is life. What has value is your intention in what you do. What has value is your actions and the result of those actions. And what money is designed to do is remove all of this from you, and to remove you from the art of your life, and to place a barrier between you and the reality in which you live. That's its purpose. And it's a very, very effective tool at doing so, and it's a very effective tool for creating and maintaining the division of our society. So try to get commerce out of your life as much as possible, folks. It really is an insidious program that none of us should be running. As I've said to you very many times, commerce is indeed the cause of all of the problems that we face in the world. Commerce is the reason the Amazon is being trashed. Commerce is the reason for coal seam gas mining and fracking. Commerce is the reason the Prime Minister of Australia, De Fuhrer Tony Abbott, is cutting a hole through the Great Barrier Reef in order to build a port, so that he can ship gas to China. Commerce is the reason Fukushima is leaking nuclear waste and radioactive water, 300 tons of it a day, into the Pacific Ocean. Commerce is the reason we go to wars with other nations. Commerce is the reason we have homelessness, starvation, and all of the other problems we face. Commerce is the reason the Third World exists. Commerce is an insidious program that has wrought untold destruction to this planet and has caused the death of millions upon millions of people. And we really do need to step back and look at things a little bit realistically and change the program that we're running, ladies and gentlemen. But of course, the first thing we need to do is to be aware that we are running this program. And that really is the most difficult part, isn't it? Because people are living in a programmed reality and they exist in this programmed reality and maintain this programmed reality because very many of them simply do not understand that they are running a program. People do not understand that they have been programmed and that they continue to be programmed by this society in which they live, by the television sets, by the newscasters, and by everything that happens around them, all the advertising. People are trained to believe certain things. They're not given the facts in any situation, and they're taught how to think about the information that they are given. They're not taught to think critically. They're taught to have a certain opinion, and they're taught that if they do not have this opinion, and if they differ from the general mainstream consensus on a topic, then they will be ostracized. And so they police themselves. Our whole society polices itself, and we police ourselves individually as well, so that we do not think outside the box, so that we are not judged harshly by our peers and by our friends. This is the type of reality that we live in, folks, and it's a very, very programmed reality, and it's important that people wake up to it. And I think that if people do wake up to this simple fact that they are programmed and begin to see the programming around them, then we will be able to change the world and we'll be able to do it very quickly. And I think that it is happening, folks. I think the more the powers that be make things negative, then the more people wake up to the reality of our world. It is very difficult for most average people to truly grasp the realities of our world, isn't it? Because the world is so vastly different to what people actually perceive it to be. And even making a statement like that, I mean, you make that statement to your friends or your family and they tend to look at you as if you have two heads or something. Just suggesting to people that the world is vastly different to what they perceive it to be is a hugely confrontational thing to say to a lot of people, and they are very taken aback by the statement. Many people can't even begin to comprehend what you're actually talking about because they look around them and they see a world and they say, well, what I see is the world and it's the way I see it. How can it be different to what I'm seeing? They just don't know how to look a little deeper at the statement and to start looking at their surroundings or examining their surroundings or examining the system that they are forced to live in a little bit critically and a little bit objectively. And again, sometimes even suggesting to people that they do this is hugely confrontational for them as well, because they're just too concerned with their daily life. They're too concerned with trying to meet the bills and put food on the table and have the social standing they believe they should have. And so they're just not interested in looking. And not only that, but they look at you a little bit strange from that point on, because you are someone that suggested that they may look a little deeper at reality. I mean, let's face it, this is just not something that normal people do, is it? We're all too concerned with the superficial stuff that the system gives us to focus our attention on. It's very interesting, you know, when you look at the programming that people are running, the television version of reality that people tend to believe is real. Even with our societies, our cities, our social structures, the way we have designated areas you are able to go and enjoy yourself or express yourself in certain government-approved ways. And even with our housing and our homes, we are only able to express ourselves in certain corporate-approved ways. If you have a unit somewhere or you are perhaps a member of some housing estate, there's usually something like a body corporate which dictates policy to you, tells you what colour you are allowed to paint your house, what plants you are allowed to grow, sometimes even what colour curtains you are able to have on your horizon, whether or not you are able to keep your curtains open on certain days. I've actually seen this with people. People have gotten in trouble for having their curtains open on a certain day when all of the other curtains in the building are closed because their open curtain has broken up the uniformity that the body corporate would like to see with the building. And all of these types of things are put in place in order for us to respect authority all the way down the line, to always have our freedom of expression dictated to us. Yes, yes, you can have freedom of expression, but only if it is approved expression. Corporate approved expression or government approved expression, whatever it is, it must be approved by someone who is more important than you are. And this is inculcated into us through the schooling system, which is all about respecting authority right from the word go. And it used to just be part of our work lives. We had our homes where we were able to express our freedom. We were able to have our house painted whatever color we want, have a fence or no fence, have whatever type of garden we want, have our lawn, our trees, whatever we wanted. But now even our homes and our living arrangements are being dictated to us by other people, what we are and are not able or allowed to do in the privacy of our own homes, no less. And this is all in preparation for the totalitarian system that's coming, folks. It's all gentle programming and gradual programming designed to lead people into a world and into a reality where every single thing they think, say, or do is controlled and either approved or not approved by somebody else. And not only that, but people are trained to think that this is all good and this is okay and this is all normal, and that they should question or be afraid of anybody who does not adhere to the programming and the dictates of others. That anybody who speaks out against the system may be wanting to rock the boat and may therefore be a terrorist. That's what all this terrorism has been brought to us for, folks. And don't think that it's been carried out by Arrows, because it isn't. It's been carried out by our governments. It's always been carried out by our governments. This is how governments get things done. This is how they get legislation in place. They stage an event, and then they use the event as an excuse to bring in more and more repressive laws. They've been doing it ever since Nero burnt Rome 2,000 years ago, and they're still doing it today. And it's programming, folks. It's gentle programming. Sometimes it's brutal programming, but it is programming. The question is, how do we break people out of it? How do we deprogram people from the onslaught of programming that they have received and that they continue to receive every day? And it is an onslaught, folks. It's everywhere. It's every single place you look. It's everything the media tells you. It's on your television. It's on your radios. It's in the scholastic system, in the community events, in the sports parks, in the fences, in the barriers, in the laws, in the legal system. It's in the mobile phones. It's everywhere. It's in the food. It's in the water. It's in the air. How do we break people out of this programming? That's the question. And the task ahead in deprogramming people and helping the world wake back up to what it should be, helping consciousness rediscover itself, is truly a mammoth undertaking, but it is a task that simply must be done. And there's no turning away from it. It's right there, and it's something that desperately needs to happen. Now, anybody who has been a regular listener to Surviving the Matrix over the last 5 or 6 years since I started the radio show would have often heard me speak about leading by example. And this, I believe, folks, is how we deprogram people. This is the most effective method that we have of waking the world up. For you out there listening to this show, to be a shining light in your own community, to be good in all that you do, to be compassionate in all that you do, to help everybody that you come across, to be a pleasure to be around. And when I say help everybody that you come across, I'm not suggesting that you deplete yourself financially in order that others may gain. As I've often said, there is one law of creation, one rule to creation, really, that we all should follow. And that rule is unconditional love and service to creation, but this means serving oneself as much as one serves others. You cannot serve others and deplete yourself in doing so, but you must not serve yourself and deplete others in doing so. You don't serve yourself at the expense of other people. You don't serve them at the expense of yourself. Because we do that, we very often neglect ourselves. But if you can be of service to creation and be a shining light in your own community, be a pleasure to be around and lead by example in all you do, and while you're doing so, push the envelope with authority. Always question anybody who says they have authority over you. Push the envelope with local councils and local governments. If there's laws in your area where you're not allowed to feed the homeless, then go and open up a soup cart and start giving food away to people. I mean, just do it because it's the morally correct thing to do, because that then gives you the ability to be able to go and push the envelope with these people and get them to explain why you are required to obey legislation which interferes with your moral compass. And if you are a good, honest, compassionate, God-fearing person, why is this government suggesting that you disobey the laws of God, i.e. compassion and consideration and charity for others, by obeying their legislation? Because isn't by doing so disobeying the laws of God? And so therefore, if this government is claiming you must do so, then the government is claiming it's a higher authority than God, and you need proof of claim. Because otherwise, your moral compass and your command from the divine tells you that you need to feed these starving people, and that nothing anybody says will dissuade you from that perspective and will cause you to deviate from your task. And like, say this in front of your whole neighborhood, folks, and what's your government going to do? What's the council going to say? What can they say against an argument like that? And don't get me wrong with the whole God thing either, because I'm not particularly religious. But the powers that believe they be claim that they are, they base their entire legal system on the laws of God and on the Bible, apparently. So, okay, I can go with that. So like I said, folks, I'm not particularly religious, but I know where I've got a card that I can play. And it's their card. They put it there, so I'm happy to play it. But one thing I do know is that when there are people starving, it's better to feed them than it is to not feed them. And if there's food there, it's better that people eat it. I just know that it's better for people to be fed rather than starving, and I know it's better for people to be housed rather than to be homeless, irrespective of any legislation that may suggest otherwise. And I would suggest that any politician that's put legislation in place which may suggest otherwise is very much in breach of trust, is very much abusing their power, and needs to be taken to somewhere for an international tribunal to hear a case against them for human rights violations and human rights abuses. That's the approach we need to have. But we need to create situations whereby we can start speaking to these people this way. And that's why you've got to take the moral high ground in all that you do, and do so regardless of whether it breaks legislation or not. In fact, it's good if it does break legislation, because that shows that the legislation is corrupt, and it gives you the mechanism and the tools you need with which to challenge their legislation from a moral perspective. And do it as a natural human being. Don't do it within their legal system. Do it as a natural human being, simply doing the right thing. Because if you take that stance, then government and legislation and law and courts have nothing to stand on. None of their arguments hold any weight, none of them hold any water, and they have nowhere to go. And people acting out of compassion and taking the moral high ground in what they do is the last thing governments want to see happening, because they know that is their Achilles heel. And again, folks, if you're a shining light in your community and you've been leading by example in all that you do, then you've got the respect of the community around you when you stand up and do this. And they're going to listen, and they're going to see the sense and the common sense in what you say, and things will change. But it'll only come from action. It'll only come when people out there listening to this decide that it's time to start putting this sort of stuff into practice in their own communities. And we simply have to start doing this, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what is the choice? Let the world turn into a global police state? Let the world be depopulated from right under our noses? Let the powers that believe they be steal everything and kill all the people they don't want? Is that the plan? We're just going to let them do it because we believe there's nothing we can do about it because they wrote all this stuff down on pieces of paper? Is that really what we have been reduced to? I mean, have we turned into gerbils, ladies and gentlemen? Is that what we're going to do? Is that the plan? To simply roll over on command because there's nothing we can do because the people that we employ to manage our infrastructure for us have decided that they're going to destroy the world and steal all of our wealth and poor us. We can't do anything about it because, after all, there's only around 7 billion of us. What could we possibly do against the handful of people who write their rubbish down on paper? I mean, really, folks, what's it going to take to wake people up to reality? What's it going to take to wake people up to this farce that these people have constructed around us? And what's it going to take to shake people out of their apathy and cause people to stand up and do something about the situation on this planet and hold these criminal scumbags who believe they have power over us accountable for their actions? I mean, I thought coal seam gas mining would do it. I thought that the coal seam gas industry in this country would really cause people to stand up and make some noise. And we've seen a fair bit of noise due to this industry, but not nearly enough. And what about the Great Barrier Reef? What are the people of Australia doing about this criminal government that's just decided it'd be a good idea to cut a hole through the Barrier Reef in order to ship gas to China? What are the Australian people doing about that? Absolutely nothing. Welcome to Apathralia. And why are they so apathetic and why are they not doing anything about it? Because they believe all of this rubbish that these criminals write on pieces of paper is real. They believe legislation is law. But all legislation is an attempt to remove law from the planet and replace it with the will of politicians. That's all it is. It's just stuff that they make up. So why on earth are we looking for remedy within that system? Because that system is corrupt right to its very core. And not only is it corrupt, but it also has zero to do with actual law. And the incredible loss of rights that's happened in Queensland, Australia. I mean, you can't do anything in Queensland. It's a virtual police state. This, of course, is because the leaders of the global slavery system are meeting here later in the year, in November, I think, for the G20 summit. And that's all that is, folks. It's a meeting of the CEOs of the global slavery system. That's all it is. And they're locking Brisbane down and locking Queensland down to a ridiculous degree in order to protect these criminal scumbags, because that's what the police do now. The police protect organised crime, and they don't do anything to help the people. All they do is collect revenue for the criminals that they work for and support and protect the criminals and support and protect the corporate rape of the country and repress and attack and belittle and beat up and torture and lock in a cage anybody who questions them or attempts to stand up against the corporate rape of this country and anybody that attempts to stand up against government criminality. That is the job of the police these days, unfortunately. So we're certainly not going to find any help from the police force, and we're certainly not going to find any help from the legal system, because the legal system is constructed by the same criminals that are destroying the planet and stealing the wealth of the people. So what do we do, folks? What we do is we unite our communities and we stand up in common respect for each other, and we simply take the world in another direction. And this is information that I've been sharing with you now for nearly 6 years, or nearly 7 years, I think, on the air. The need for us to put down these barriers with each other and stand up as a respectful and united community. Stop listening to the divisionists out there. So many people in the New Age movement and in the alternative research movement are simply divisionists that are promoting themselves, promoting their own version of things, and seeking to name anybody who disagrees with them as a plant or a criminal or Illuminati or whatever. And so many people are putting so much credence on logos. I reckon we take the logos back, folks. I've got a one-eyed symbol on my website, because why should the Illuminati have that symbol? Why should they claim that anything that has one eye showing belongs to them? You know what I say to them? I say, go take a running jump. I'll use any symbol I want, and you can't claim it because it isn't yours. It belongs to the people. We've just got to stop giving these symbols power, folks. We've got to stop seeing these symbols as having power over us. We've got to take them back. Take everything back. Take the world back. Reclaim yourself. Reclaim your access to everything that's there for you. Reclaim your access to the abundance of this universe, the abundance of this earth, and the abundance of this reality. Don't give your power away to people. And don't believe people who claim that they have power over you. Don't believe people who claim that the Illuminati is all powerful and they have power over you, because they only have the power that you let them have. And should you choose to stand in the power of your flesh and to respect and unite with the community around you, all of the power that you believe you've lost would suddenly come flooding back into your being. Don't believe the divisionists. Don't believe that everybody is against you. Don't believe that anybody who disagrees with anybody else is a government plant. Don't listen to the New Age psychobabble. Don't buy into the religious programming. Don't buy into the God versus Satan mythos. Rediscover yourself. Rediscover the power that you have. And we can stand together and take this world in a new direction. You know, it's so frustrating to see so many people in the alternate research movement attack anybody who tries to create any unity and attempt to convince other people that they're a plant, that anything that's going to unify the people is a plant. These people are running programs, ladies and gentlemen, and they're doing everything they can to prevent the human race from ever respecting itself and ever uniting to a common cause. That is their purpose, whether many of them realize it or not, but there is certainly a lot of them here in the alternate research movement that are doing just that. In fact, 90% of the alternate research movement seems to spend their time attacking everybody else in the alternate research movement. So be very wary of people who are claiming to be awake and claiming to be conscious and claiming to be connected and yet spend their time attacking other people, ladies and gentlemen, because that's not really going to solve anything. A lot of it is back to the spy novel mentality. There are a lot of people out there who listen to what is brought to them in the alternate research movement because they like the spy novel. They like to know about the secret government that exists, and it's all like a big adventure story to them. And that is the problem. And that's what a lot of these divisionists within the alternate research community are giving these people. They're giving them the sensationalist tabloid tripe that the people want. And so be very wary of people who do attack others, ladies and gentlemen. But more importantly, be very wary of what your government is doing. Most especially while you are being distracted with the alternate research community fighting amongst itself. I would suggest that's what a lot of that is about as well, folks. It's a distraction. It's to keep you from ever really looking what's going on in your environment around you and to keep you from really noticing what your government is doing. Because the fact of the matter is that you need to pay close attention to what your government is doing. And don't back down to these people, ladies and gentlemen. Question authority on every single occasion that you can and do not back down to them. Be respectful. But don't back down, because we can't do nothing. We have to take the world in a different direction, folks. And as I've said earlier in the show, this is what I hope to do with the Full Circle Project this year. We've got to do something. We've got to create a movement which is not a movement, a movement which is simply an idea whose time has come, a new perspective, a shift in the paradigm, a new way of looking at things and a new way of approaching this situation away from the constraints of a fictional legal system which is designed to tie you up in red tape and disempower you and allow the criminals to run amok. We've got to start putting law over legislation, folks. That's what we need to do. We need to put actual law, natural law, real law back into place on this planet and start holding these criminals who write legislation which contravenes natural law accountable for their actions. Start taking action against them. Get these people off the streets. Get them out of positions of power and redistribute the wealth that they've stolen to the many homeless people and refugees that they themselves have created. But again, this is only going to come through some type of unity. And this unity is only ever going to be achieved via respect. And that's why I place so much importance on this message and why I repeat it so often. Because that's the way out. And our other option is to do nothing, in which case the world will be destroyed around us. Or the other option is to pick out a symptom and then believe that we can make a difference by addressing the symptom. And that's what people seem to do. People fight little symptoms. They exert all their effort on attacking one particular symptom of this corrupt system, but they never address the actual problem, which is the system itself. The corruption, the legislation that's put in place by governments, and the fact that the governments are only able to put this legislation in place because we live in divided communities and we don't respect each other. And we're this way because we're trained to be this way, because we're programmed to be this way, because we're influenced by the scholastic system, by the economic systems, by the social systems, the television and all of the other mechanisms, the subliminal programming, the sigils, the symbols, the everything that's around us that we buy into and we give our power to. All of it is there to create this situation. We need to break free of it. Reclaim the symbols. Reclaim things back for yourself. These people don't have power, folks. We do. We've just forgotten that. And too much of the alternative research community drums into people that they don't have power. They drum into people the concept that there is this big evil ruling hand and they can't do anything against it. But it's a lie. It's actually a very tiny hand and we can change it any time we want simply by respecting each other. We do that and the whole system breaks down in a day. So that's where the focus has to be. Don't buy into the divisionism. Don't buy into the finger pointing. Don't buy into the concept that everybody is against you. Don't buy into the lie that anything that is attempting to create unity is the new world order. Don't buy into the psychobabble. Don't buy into the new age rubbish that is feeding you this whole ascension and love and light false reality. Take a look at the reality around you and understand what a difference your participation in this reality could create. And then do something, folks. Stand up and participate. You're here in a 3D world and could be that you're actually here for a reason and that reason could be for you to participate in this world. So don't buy into the rubbish, folks. Don't buy into the psychobabble. Know the power that you have and choose to exercise that power. Because if you do, it will make all the difference. It all has to come one at a time, folks. Don't wait for others to act. You act. And I know that there are many people out there who listen to this show who are doing just that. But I think we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to sign off in a minute or two. As I mentioned near the start of the show, there is a link on the website now where you can make a contribution to the In Lakesh Foundation if you would like to do so. This is a foundation that's going to be used for the Full Circle Project, that's going to be used to buy back Amazon land and to hopefully fund community projects right around the planet. And I know the concept of buying Amazon land is kind of weird because you can't really own land. But the problem is that the corporations that are raping the jungle believe they can own it and they're buying it up. And while people believe you can own it, then okay, we should own it so that it doesn't get destroyed. That is the plan. But again, folks, it will need your participation for this to happen. I certainly can't do it on my own. And that's why the link has been placed there to the In Lakesh Foundation. This is in preparation for me launching the new film, which I hope to get out to you early in 2014. The film will be used to launch the Full Circle Project. And also something else that I wanted to mention was that in the meantime, while I'm struggling so much to make ends meet, I have got some t-shirts that are for sale on the website as well. If you'd like to buy a t-shirt, they're $20 each plus it's $15 postage. So the government certainly gets their share, but there's not much I can do about that. That's just what it costs for me to mail a t-shirt, but they are there on the website. If you would like to buy one, it would be a great help. Anything would be a great help at the moment, folks. I really have depleted all of my resources on gathering footage for the new film, and the film will, of course, be brought to you for free, as they always are. But that is it for me now, ladies and gentlemen. I have to go. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. And don't negate your own power, ladies and gentlemen, because you are all very powerful people, and if we unite, we can make a difference. And you should never doubt that truth, because it is a fact. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. In Lakesh.